All right, James, go ahead and start. Let's...
Well, we don't know what they have. Today is
How about we see
June 17, 2009, James Alexander. And this is kind of a makeup call for what didn't happen for those that were blocked out last week because of the technical error. I don't even know if they got their message, but we're going to do this call tonight, and we'll be much along the lines of what we did last time. But I want to start off with a brief statement about our sacred agreements and what that really means. We have all sorts of information running around there that you can use that phrase, our sacred agreements, and so forth and so on. But let me tell you this. The magic and where the magic and what makes the magic happen boils down to the first agreement. When we come here, we come as a whole soul. When we're born, we split into these three parts that we know as Una, as being your conscious self, Ujhani. And frankly, the Ujhani doesn't even have a chance to come into existence till around 2 years of age. There's no space for it. In other words, the conscious mind starts its development. The first thing that happens here is the Una Hapili is in the physical form, and as the body grows, consciousness arises. And when that happens, you have conscious mind coming involved. Eventually, we get the three cells functioning. In other words, conscious, basic self, meaning the Una Hapili, and the Amakua, and growth continues. And you have to say to yourself, well, we're born. What are our responsibilities? What do we do? What's life about? And our first sacred agreement is to start recognizing that that is our sacred agreement. We're here to live a life, to teach our basic self, which is a part of us that's in that kind of rocking chair position. It lives both in the physical and the spiritual, whereas the conscious self mostly is in the physical. The basic self is in both. High self is absolutely in the spiritual. And therefore, it becomes an understanding. What part of you is getting worked on the hardest that you're going to feed it? That first agreement is to start recognizing the Trinity and our relationship to the living divine force, or the Kiyakua, within us. That's a sacred agreement. When you start knowing that presence is within you, it makes life a lot easier to work from. You don't even have to understand the three cells to accept the reality of that essence is present. It's not a belief. And that's the first agreement. Second agreement is, once you get cognitive and you start understanding how life works, is to pursue that understanding and to do so in a modality that is a positive method. Meaning, in Huna Life Church, we have a mission and we have an understanding. We live the Huna life, which can be basically stated to live a hurtless and helpful life, being of service. Our mission is to heal, teach, train, and mentor. And the point comes down to is that you do not want to live your life in a negative context. You do not want to go around opening your mouth, creating negative things in your life. You do not want to make your life miserable. You want to recognize the rules and the flow of energy within yourself and work to develop that relationship. Effectively, you will find that you have a higher self. You will understand that you have a basic self. And somewhere in this process, you also find the divine force of the Kiyakua in your life. And by learning to develop that, it's the next agreement. That's not about numbers of agreements, but those two essences are primary. What you will encounter in your process, as most people do, is various systemologies. They have various rituals. They have all kinds of ways of how we as the lowly humans are supposed to interact with the great creator and source of sources. The reality is the great creator of sources is within us. To recognize that is step one. Step two is to understand that the great creator of sources does not have time to deal with us. It has given us a set of rules, like the law, what the buzzword these days are, the universal laws of attraction. And I find that, you know, that's interesting that we're waking up that exists. But the principle is the learn how to have that relationship and to understand the relationship within yourself and that force. Learn how to utilize that. So we go about this process, and there's all sorts. I mean, I'm just telling you, if there's a bug in the world, there's a religion to match it somewhere. So you have to learn to filter through the difference between getting ready to get ready, hearing what people say versus what works. In HUNA, at least in HUNA Life Church, we talk about this is not an organization of belief. You don't have to believe beans today. We don't care if you believe in it. What we know is whether you believe it or not, you practice this practice, you'll get results, and that is a reality. Will it always work? Do everything correctly? Your high self approaches? Yes. It is the way the universe works. And the issue comes down to, that's not something we want you to believe, that's what something we want you to experience firsthand. Because once you understand that, you can begin to change yourself and the world around you to a better place. And it also goes, you can change it to a bad place too. We want you to change it to a better place. You learn to live within the confines and the rules. And that makes all the difference in the world. So, what do you do about all these other paths? Find one that works. We think ours is best, but that's not necessarily true. We're open to suggestions. We see a lot of systems. We find one that works better than one we got, it's instantly adopted. We're in the business of what works. And that is the point. So to the overall principle, the only real, I mean, I'm asked all the time about, do you all have this ritual? What do you have to do to get this stuff? None of that. The great ritual with us is through my basic self and my high self I pray. End of story. Or part two, which I initialized and created, was through my basic self and my high self I pray. And from my conscious self to my high self I pray. That's the great ritual. Everything prior to anywhere around that, you can do stuff, but that's essentially the key. That's where the magic happens. And you can learn to clear your communications, get rid of internal filters that sabotage you. You can do that. But ultimately, what I just said is where the magic happens. HUNA is about prayer. I created a phrase called PPOA, meaning a prayerful plan of action. It's learning to live with the flow, do your prayers, and then do your part, but it's a way of creating and making come into manifestation what it is you pray for. Calling into existence that which did not exist before. Learning to use the system. And learning to use your relationship to your precept. And that's it in a nutshell. Now that's the great sacred agreement. And that's the great ritual. Anything less than that, anything that makes you have to put on a song and dance, it all might be fun, but you know, it's like I had one lady ask me, do you have a special prayer for whatever, for healing, a general prayer for healing? I said, no. You know what happens when you do a general prayer? You get a general result. Now, that sounds bad, but maybe some results better than nothing, but same amount of time put forth getting a general result could have been put forth to getting a specific result. And I don't know about you, but if I'm sick, I don't want a general healing. I want to get well. And therefore, I like the specific result. Work technique. Learn to function and live with that life. After having that great statement, I'm open for questions. Somebody shoot. Hello.
I was reading another teacher of HUNA, and he was talking about creating a reservoir of energy. So that,
yep.
And I wasn't real sure just exactly what he was saying. I mean, are you just kind of storing it up? Because the way you talk about healing, you're not sending energy to somebody. So what is this reservoir?
All right, I'll answer that. Max Rita Malm talked about that in his book. what he's talking about is that after you establish, I mean, let's back up a second. First off, the best gifts that Max did was to bring dowsing to him. Okay? Let's go back and look at Hawaiian history for a brief second. You got these people who are born into families and are going to learn to be kahunas. They stood before the foot of the master, which was whatever the senior kahuna was at the time, and they learned by emulating and following his akakoa to their various levels of gods or whatever. And then they would learn how to follow themselves. In other words, the kahuna would create the connection. He would then get the student to follow that connection, and they would learn that path to that section of frequency or energy. Their term, or what was written in the missionary's term, to their God. And the idea was he learned to emulate that connection, and once he got it down, he could do it on his own. In today's world, we don't have sitting kahuna laying around to go learn and follow who know how to do that, hardly at all anymore. So when Max wrote his book, what he talked about is that he brought to the modality of communication, how to learn to talk to the Una Hapili, came with the use of a dowsing pendulum too. He had dowsing rods, and he also had a pendulum. He used 90% was a pendulum. Learning through the pendulum gave you a tool to which you could communicate to your inner self, meaning your Una Hapili, and through your Una Hapili to your Amakua. Now, having said that, moving toward the answer to your question, once you learn and establish a rapport and a communication with your Una Hapili, we teach, in the Una Life Church, teach a modality of creating permissions, behavioral promises, and so forth to ourselves. In other words, that's no good to have your Una Hapili lie to you. Does no good to have sin, or, and sin means filters that block your communication to be present. When we teach the use of that pendulum, we teach a conditional response of understanding. We remember always that you have a childlike intellect on the receiving end of your yes and no questions. Therefore, it's never, ever about blame. It's always about going forward and affirming what you want, not what you don't want. We also do clearing. In other words, it doesn't do you any good to have a communication with an eating companion that's messing with the answers either. So it's kind of chicken and egg thing. You do the clearing, then you get down to making your arrangements and agreements with your basic self, and then you can start doing this reservoir business. After you have established your internal communication protocol, then you immediately get your basic self to go to your Amakua, and you get it to learn, if it doesn't already know how, but get the Amakua's approval to build inside of you a reservoir of mind. In other words, part of every breath you will take from now on and the rest of your life will also go to feed that reservoir so that you have a mana charge available at all times, be utilized to maintain and or instantly create communication more directly with your higher self and your basic self and your conscious self. In other words, that's what that reservoir is there for. To call upon it, rather than you having to build it up through deep breaths, you keep a certain level of there at all times. And in so doing so, when stuff happens, when you weren't aware of what you were walking into as a cognitive self, and you stepped into the wrong place at the wrong time, instead of you having to go, hold on a minute, breathe that up, you have an instant reservoir of energy to call upon to establish that communication to cause healing to occur right then. And believe me, it's a nice thing to have around. Many times in my own personal life where in my other life of being an investigator, where you find that you have now stepped into the hornet's nest and you're an undercover operative, and now they know who you are and your identity is blown and how to survive that. Calling on that reservoir of energy to maintain clear and conscious communication to your Amakua to help create a new solution, to call into reality something that didn't exist before, to change the circumstances that had been programmed in advance that you did not know about, and to make these changes instantly applicable so that you have daylight to look at tomorrow, because if you don't, your history is a nice thing to have. These are tried and true methods. Max wrote about this. It is a method of keeping that energy present, along with some other things, but primarily it's to have that reservoir done, and it works in three ways. One, the way you establish it is you won't take your basic self to go up and contact the higher self. That's part of the protocols that you establish in learning how to practice UNA and use the pendulum. Once you have that clarity of communication, you will affirm that you're talking to your real and true basic self, born to you in this lifetime. You get it to go to the higher self, and the question is, help teach my basic self how to create this reservoir and help set up this energy flow. That's the deal. It learns. If it didn't know already, it's heard the specs, and it goes about creating that. Two reasons you do that. One, you want the permission of your Amakua. Two, you want that stamped and built into your future from now on. Who makes your future but your Amakua? You want a certain section of that energy to always be creating toward maintaining that reservoir. Okay? That, and the byproduct of this, by the way, for those of you who have not read my general revocation, the simple reality of life is, how do you get rid of miscreants and spirits and stuff and eating companions out of you? You have to raise your frequency of light. Light exists in the universe in every place. It may not be as bright in some as it is in others, but it is still nonetheless there. Even things that are evil have to have light to see. And that light, they are a part of the living divine force. And therefore, their frequency of light is not as strong as other frequencies of light. They can't exist where that other frequency of light is. The remedial benefit of creating this reservoir is that you're also creating that flow of energy that's going to and from your Amakua back to that reservoir too. And that's a higher frequency of light. When that higher frequency of light exists, your potential of having even companions successfully attached to you diminishes radically. Now, that answer your question?
Absolutely. That was a great answer.
I'll add something to that. For those of you who can hear my voice in this call and you're going to work on your protocols, but what I mean by protocols, what am I talking about? When I learned UNA, I had a guy who's an American Society of Dowsing. I'm not going to ding them. I'm glad they exist, and they've taught dowsing to a lot of people, even though they don't know how to teach UNA. They teach dowsing, and that's fine. Their version of dowsing and UNA dowsing is entirely different, but the nomenclature function of the process of dowsing is pretty much the same. It's not how you, everybody knows how to drive the car, but how you drive the car is another story, and to what intention it is. Their modality of doing some things is, takes too long, okay? You learn quickly that your autonomic nervous system is what's making that pendulum move. So what you want to do is have a shorter chain on the link, you know, so the bobble or whatever you're using as a weight at the end works faster. Now, I'm not trying to say a half an inch, but I have one pendulum that the line on it is basically no more than 2 inches long. Just fast answers, swear to God. You know, that little thing swings just fine. So the point comes down to, why wait longer to get an answer when you don't have to? The other thing is that they sometimes go into the ready position and so forth. I have news for you. Your basic self is always in the ready position. If it's live, you're connected, and if you're connected, it's listening. That's the end of the story. It's always listening. So getting it to learn your protocols of which ways yes, no, high self, basic self direction, and learning while it's giving you an answer to make sure you don't interfere in that answer, going in a circle until it can tell you the truth that you promised it would do and it promised you it would do. These are things that make that happen. It makes you have to do your part, and it makes it have to do its part. If both of you are working to honor your relationship to each other. So your pendulum is never to be associated with that's your basic self, because it's not. It's just the two. God knows I've used plenty of those two. Keychains, water bottles, electrical cords, you name it. If it had a weight on it, I've done it. I actually used a pair of nunchaku one time to get an answer because I had a string and a heavy weight and I needed it right then. I needed to verify what I had intuitively received and I needed to know that that was the right answer. I got it, it was, and I did. And that's the point. It is not your basic self. It is a tool by which you communicate. And to all those people who turn around and say, well, I have a Maori pendulum on. I have this pendulum on. I have this piece of crystal on there. Doesn't make a crap what it is. It's not about what that is. It's about a weight on the end of the string that acts as a communication tube because of your involuntary muscle. Now, we can entertain our basic selves with this stuff and say, oh, this is true. That's not the point. The point is to increase your communication, to do so lovingly and with respect, and to recognize that communication. Some pendulums work better than others because they're a better form. The Maori pendulum is one of the first well-known ones that was ever used, and it's a good pendulum. There's nothing to it. It's just somebody, it's a tone with the point pointing down and got a chain on the end. Nothing fancy about it at all. You know, I could have done the same thing with a fishing weight, which had a piece of fishing line through it. It's not about what the pendulum is made out of. It's about the fact that it's that bobble at the end of a string or whatever, it works. It allows you to be comfortable holding your hands and get a good connection to it. So when your basic self takes that autonomic nervous system movement to occur, it'll translate down through your fingers into that conveyance. Some people use a needle and thread. Well, no offense, needle's not heavy enough. It should be a little heavy. If that chain or thread's taut, then you'll get a better connection. It's about working that system. Okay. Next.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. This is
Shoot.
One. One of them was on the actual prayer. I need to go back and review again, but listening to your gratitude list the last couple of times. What did you call it? Not your gratitude list, or something else.
The Mahalo Nui Loa.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. That thank you very powerfully.
Okay. Sorry, I just had to write that down so I didn't miss it this time. Anyway, I wondered in the prayer, is it a plea or is it a thank you?
It's an affirmation of something already coming into
existence. All right, so it's a thank you.
Well, mahalo in its simplest form means thank you, but the idea is whenever you do any prayers, whenever you create a prayer action or a hara, a prayer action and a hara are the same thing, but when you create a prayer action, you can, there's two versions of this, okay? Ultimately, it depends on how you're doing it. Most people will want to do it the way I'm going to describe now. The prayer should be in the form of it's already done. We don't want to get ready to get ready. We don't want to say, please help John, you know. What does that really mean? Think about what you're asking for. And then how do you get it? In other words, I want to have created in the future, you know, some help to do this. That doesn't get it done. If you say, thank you for helping me create blank, that'll get it done. Because what you're saying is it's already done. You're bringing into reality that creation as if it's already completed and done. That's what you're calling into existence, quite literally, as a creator, as a person who has that agreement, as a person who has a living divine force in you. You're bringing that into existence by saying aloud with your intention, thank you for making blank happen. Thank you for healing my whatever. Thank you. You're
okay.
Saying it as if it's already occurred.
And so that is the prayer, the thank you, rather than the please do this.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, that's
now, there's some things you can do in advance to make that happen better. You can, I mean, if you got a specific project that you want to work on, let's say you're looking to get a new job. You don't know where to find that job, so you break it down. But let's say you boil it down to where you want to get job A versus job B, C, or D, or whatever. And you're a good match for it. You want to ask your alma cua if that can be made to come to pass, and if so, would it be for your highest good and ill? If it says yes and yes, then you go do your thank you that way. And the key here is you're asking your higher self in advance to support this action. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to tell you whether or not it's willing to work with you on that or not. I mean, your higher self's going to start to act and co-creative because you're going to bring this stuff out, but that doesn't mean that's where your highest good and ill. You want to create it, and carry it, and help create it, but that's not the point. The point is to give permission, to invite your high self to the show. You want it to be involved in helping you help yourself. It's not going to do it for you, but it's going to help you help you, and that is the deal. Bear with me a second. I need to readjust my headset here. Hold on. Ew. All right, I'm back.
Okay, yeah, that's a very good answer. Thank you. I have been having a lot of luck with all my little things that I'm working on.
All right, well, let's talk how to expand that.
Pardon?
How do you expand it from little things to bigger things?
Well, I think the first thing, the main thing that I realize is that it's my conscious mind that is the block to any of it.
Nope. That's not true.
Oh, okay.
Let me tell you why it's not true.
Okay.
Where do your beliefs, opinions, and filters exist?
Conscious mind.
You have false forms, you're right. But it's not true there. It actually is a part of your behavior that's shared between you and your subconscious. Your basic self, you have a shared complex in there. Right now with me on the phone, do you have a similar problem?
No, but I got a rod here.
Well, I don't care what you use. Just something to give you the yes, no, rod, pendulum, whatever. Radiesthesia, okay. Hand, paw, kinesiology.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right, so here's the deal. Just listen to this question. I want standard agreements applying here. Now, just so the audience understands, when I do healing work with people, I don't want to take on their karma. I don't want their karma to come to me, and I don't want to create karma. So standard agreement is this. We want to, it's a conscious answer on your part, but here's the deal. I don't want anything I say here to hurt or harm you in any way, and I don't want it to work unless your alma cua approves it and adjudicates it as for your highest good and ill.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an agreement with you?
Yes. You're saying that to me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yes.
So that's standard agreement supply. In other words, I don't want to create a problem. Now, so the second part of this goes down to, give me your first name, please, so I can frequency.
Lenore.
Lenore's basic self, born to her in this lifetime, real and true. I want you to give her an answer through whatever device she's going to use, be it dowsing rods, pendulum, whatever. And I want you to tell her, yes or no, the following question, if you would, please. Do you have any thought forms, complexes, or filters that the outcome of their existence is to create blocks and you creating or using your system of creation in the most positive way possible? Yes or no?
No.
Did you get a yes or no?
And no.
Are you the real and true basic self born to her in this lifetime? Yes or no? Are you saying yes when the answer should be no?
No.
Okay. Basic self of Lenore, do you have shared complexes that the conscious self is given to make it not accept the reality of creation. Yes or no?
No.
That's not correct. Your own statement proves that. Basic self, are you aware that the conscious self has shared certain emotions with you, yes or no?
Yes.
So do you have thought forms, complexes, and or belief patterns that are in conflict with how things are created that says and feeds that to the conscious self, yes or no?
Now I'm not getting any answer.
I'd say we hit the nail on the head here. Now, for those listening, I want you to hear what we just said about it. I want there's a technique going on here that you're not more than likely picking up.
Okay.
Logically, we know what you said. In other words, if we accept the principle of the three selves, okay, and that's true, which I do, and I know that that's real, I don't take the answer that I got as being wrong. In other words, I'm not going to call the basic self a liar here. That doesn't serve me or it. What I am going to do is keep asking the question in a way to come around to it in a modality that your basic self understands what I'm saying. Because we know that the conscious mind shares those complexes. Where are those complexes kept? That's the repeated world completely.
Right.
So that's a shared complex. Now, what we got to do is to get the basic self to understand that we know what's going on and it knows what's going on. And instead of saying it does this, it says that exists within it that gives that information to your Amakua and to your Uhani. When your conscious mind is getting that, that means those things exist within it as well. And I know that's confusing for it, but the fact of the matter is it's creating its own sabotage here, huh?
Hmm.
See what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of times when I don't get any movement whatsoever, I think it's because of a lack of understanding. Is that you said they were getting a lack of understanding there.
Well, what you now need to do, what we'll do right now, is say basic self born to Lenore in this lifetime. And you go to your high self right now, yes or no? I want you to go to your Amakua and ask it to explain to you about shared complexes and how these complexes that are within you that the conscious self that has access to is limiting your ability to co-create bigger and better things for you in this lifetime. Please make that trip, and we'll give you a second so that you'll have that instant learning. Come back down, and then we'll talk. Would you do that for me, yes or no?
Yeah.
Now, for those y'all can't see me, but I'm sitting here in my chair in the office, and I had my arm hanging over the back of it. I knew that was going to be a yes because my arm's swinging yes, and I'm not doing anything. I'm not holding the pendulum, but my arm is swinging yes. You understand what I'm saying about it's not about the tools?
Oh, absolutely.
So, you got the answer, yes or no? Yes, it has. Thank you, basic self. Now, are you willing to work on removing these filters, yes or no?
Yes.
Good. So this is what we're going to do. Basic self, I want you to work with your Amakua to identify where these filters are inside of you. And then we want to gather those things up and send them to your Amakua to be transmuted and healed. That means your high self will help identify them with you, and you will whack them. Send them to your high self to be transmuted and healed. In their place, we'll put clear communication. How's that? Excellent. Part of the process. Now, I won't say this is what I do with people all day long, but it's close. And while that's going on, you need to be taking deeper than normal breaths. Uh-huh. And you need to say out loud, I'm willing to release these conscious hang-ups so that I can be healed. That means you have to say that out loud. The next thing you say is, I am releasing these conscious hang-ups to be healed. Thank you for healing me. Now what did we do? We went and made the request. We said we're willing. We said we're doing it. Now we're saying thank you, it's already done. Okay?
Thank you.
You can do little things, you can do big things. What's that?
I guess what I'm trying to do is...
Word try means failure. What are you doing?
Okay. What I'm doing is getting myself used to living as a trinity rather than a single person.
Well, you were living as a trinity when you thought you were a single person. That shouldn't be a problem.
But not all of me believed that. They didn't know it. I mean, some part of me was holding back, thinking, no, there's just me. I mean, mm-hmm. I was thinking prior to reading about Una that there was just me.
Well, I understand that, but I don't believe that. I think that something else was in there during that time period. It didn't serve it for you to know there was three cells. That's what eating companions do. Trust me, you're Uhani. Your Unahapili, I mean, your conscious mind may have not known that, but your Unahapili and your Almaku have known it all along. And the reason we know that,
yes,
you couldn't create a tomorrow without it.
That's kind of what I was saying at the beginning, is that it's my conscious mind that has to be aware of it. I'm just sort of training myself to live fully with the three parts.
You are living fully with the three parts. You can learn to use them more definitely.
Okay.
Certainly. I mean, we're basically having semantic issues here, but the problem is to create beyond that to a place where you're learning to understand how you create and to work on your desired goals and objectives. That's a buzz line if I ever heard one. But the fact is, you'd be stunned to know how many people don't have desired goals and objectives. Everybody needs a vision. Everybody needs things to accomplish. Everybody needs stuff to get done. And when you get one done, you create something else to do. So it's better to do it with your high self working with you than it's not.
Yeah, prior to reading Max Freedom Long's book, I was quite successful at manifesting things.
You still are.
Huh?
You've not lost.
No, I know that. I'm just saying that I had my own method of doing it. And then when I read the book, it made everything like puzzle pieces come together on what I was doing. But it was a change of thinking in my logical brain.
Yeah, I can understand that. You create those patterns and those triggers.
Yeah, because I did have the
patterns. And by the way, that's what you just described right there, is that just because you're in religion X and you said all the prayers and somebody gets a breakthrough and things start to happen, doesn't mean that explains how it happens. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Same principle. You have a system. It worked for you. You were working it. And you were getting results. When you read the book, it brought it all together, but you still had that system.
Yeah, but the system went higher than my Amakua.
That's possible. But it's got to go through your Amakua.
Yeah, and that's what was inserted into it. And I had an argument within myself about, you know, just how high is the Amakua, and do I dare overreach it because Max says don't You know, we don't know anything about anything higher than our own parent self.
That's not true. I know what Max wrote, but the bad news is he wrote it from that perspective. The good news is there are those of us who have spoke beyond that.
Okay.
And you do that with the permission and work of your Amakua.
Right.
The issue is that really necessary? Your Amakua takes care of business. Some things are strictly Amakua business.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how much you try to stick your nose in there or whatever, doesn't mean that you're going to be able to do anything different. That's Amakua business.
Right.
Anybody else? Yes, I absolutely
love the whole, knowing this whole concept. I mean, not that I know it yet, but... to have this concept means an awful lot to me. I really think this is it. And
well, it's certainly nice to have a plan.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you at all. You know, this works.
It is. And you know, and I was searching so for something that could explain the Coral Castle down in Florida, and this was it for me. Even though there was very little mention of it, it was in there in the book. You know, it's building the pyramids and so forth. And anyway, so I appreciate this more than I can tell. And then reading just the other day the book by John Peniel, The Children of the Law of One, and it seems so in keeping with all of this, and it seems so in keeping with the timing of the Huna, that I wondered if there's a connection there. If that could have been one of the tribes of the Kahunas when they went off into the world.
I think we all want to look back and hear those kind of things and learn those kind of things. But let me tell you this. Magic happens. Period.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what religion, what tribe, what place and time, your fault, my fault, anybody's fault. The only reason that happened is because of the trinity of the three selves. You ever think about that, notice that magic always has a human presence.
Mm.
Those three selves are the key. That's how the magic happens. Now, anybody else got any questions?
Thank you.
I have a question. What part does mana play in manifestation? Like when we talked about the reservoir, I mean, there's a place that you can fill up, but how does that relate to manifestation?
Easily. What part does gasoline play in running a car?
Well, if you don't have enough of it, you're not going to go very far.
Well, if you don't have it at all, it's not going to crank.
Right.
Now, the good news, we're alive and we're breathing to maintain our life. So we have some mana at all times. What we want to do is increase our level of flow of mana. And I'm glad you asked that question, because one of the things that in my own career, I sat around saying, you know, well, why can't I get this done? And it said, you can't produce enough mana. Boy, that was the wrong thing to tell James, you know. It's like, you know, and I'm going to be blunt, like, and I said, what the hell you mean I can't produce enough mana? You know, he said, you're not equipped for it. That's what my higher self said. And I'm going, bullshit, I got lungs, I got a conscious self, a basic self, and I certainly got my armature. What do you mean I can't do it? The levels, spiritual levels of connection of aqua cords in you are not large enough to handle the flow of mana that you need. Well, I didn't take that very well at all. In short, I had to sign off on myself, and I was pissed off about that for a whole day and a half. And then I went back and I said, and I reestablished my communication link. And I said, no offense, but can we feel that in me? Well, yes. And I'm like thinking, what a butthole my high self is, you know. We could have got this done yesterday, you know. But it's a way of learning of communication, you know. This is just really how you have to break down and learn about yourself. That was part of the test for me to ask that, to say that I'm going to move forward. And so to you, we're going to skip part of that test and hear these words tonight. When you're working and you're creating mana toward a task, it'll tell you how much. But more beyond that, you want to work out for your basic self, the high self. Not only do you want to keep that reservoir sealed, but if you, in your actual body makeup, your DNA, have things that limit the modality of how you're able to have that mana flow through you, that's one of the things you want to have healed in you. You want to create more outer cords between you, your basic self, and high self, and on the return, so that you can have more of that flow present and become consciously aware of it. You say, I don't know how you do that. Well, you do it with your intentions and by communicating to your high self and basic self, getting permission to get that done, and doing it that way by asking for that, and then start the process of doing your own deep breathing and doing what? Calling into reality something that did not exist before. How do we do that? It's called co-conjuration ideology. It's called creating. We are creators. So what do? Just like in any prayer action, we start the process. Thank you for healing my heart, support, and mana capabilities today and in my future. Thank you for restoring me to a form where I can better flow and facilitate this mana that we need. Thank you for healing my connection. All of these are affirming an outcome that you want. But that's your prayer action because you're sending mana up to get this done, and that's what you create. So you not only want to create the mana, but you want to make light skippy clear that the connections you have are strong enough and big enough to help facilitate. In other words, why do we have to tell it 10 times when we can have done it in 3? That help you?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Dead silence on this one. Somebody out there's got a question. Shoot.
I had a tool that I discovered while I was working with activating mana, the reservoir of mana. And when I think of every cell of my body being receiving, plumping, activating with mana, it quickly sort of, it's kind of hot honey pouring onto something. It goes more quickly.
I don't disagree with that ideology because what you described is pretty much how it feels in many ways. What I do is to understand, see, I key this to trigger phrases in myself. And that's one of the, if I sit through my basic self and my high self, I pray one time, I've said it a million. I'm just telling you. I've been doing this a long time, and that's one of those key phrases. Now, what does that really mean to me? That means that my basic self knows, and we practice this and work these protocols out within ourselves because of the practice, that it's going to go up, reach up to that reservoir, and establish that connection so that we have it instantly flowing. Every breath I take will intensify after that to help maintain more energy, but we're going to open what I call the gateway, which is that place between us and our Amakua, and the Amakua and the living divine force. Now, I don't have to understand how the Amakua does that. That's not my job. You know what? That's Amakua's business. But we've worked out the protocols where we're consciously working, and I got my intuition from my Amakua, basic self is holding the void open, and the high self is letting the juice flow. Because it's receiving the juice, and there's a return factor. I have a phrase that covers that. I say, as I inhale energy enters, as I exhale it spreads. What that really means is, as I inhale this energy, I'm sending it to my basic self to go to my high self directly and through that reservoir, and I'm also sending it directly to my armature from conscious self to high self. Now, that last part, sending it directly from my conscious self to my high self, you're not going to hear that anywhere but here at Humalai Church. That's a statement that we recognize to go through the basic self to the higher self. The conscious self has mana too. We send mana 1 to the basic self. Basic self makes it mana, what we informed by Max, and he then sends that to the Amakua, and that makes it mana lore. Well, mana one can go to the high self directly as far as I'm concerned as well. I want to make sure that pathway stays clear. I want to make sure that I got as much juice going to it as it can, as I can. And so what I'm doing is sending it up. The high self receives it with the intention, and then that energy is returned back. And that's when you get that feeling of honey being poured. Not only is it sweet, but it's wonderful. It's a force to be
continued. It's sweet.
So, there you have it. Next.
How does the ha-rite work with mana?
Ha-rite is a prayer. You know, when we created the Interlife Church originally, one of our board members was Dr. Janice Chada, PhD in social work. And Janice brought up an interesting statement. She said, we ought to make this all English. And we had a debate about it. We chose to keep certain words in it because the words in Hawaiian, some things, I mean, like the simplest translations of the word mahalo would be thank you, you know? But that is not anywhere near the real definition. And the point comes down to is that we kept certain phrases because the overall full translation carried a lot more than a one or two word statement in English, you know, and part of that comes down to is ha-rite. A ha-rite, the word ha, the breath, the energy, ha, is there. When you're a howie, you're a person without breath, and when you do a ha-rite, you're doing an action with the breath. So the point comes down to is, how does that work? Well, ha-rites are a form of prayer action. It's an organized prayer. I mean, it's literally organized. Just like, I mean, a lot of people write their prayers down and say them verbatim, I'm one of them. I have a specific thing that I'm working on, long range especially. I'll write the wording of the prayer down in toto, and then I'll do my thank you for blah, 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 you know, for making it come to pass. So a ha-rite is a organized prayer, period. You do your breathing to fuel it, and then you say it aloud, and that's what the ha-rite is. That helps you.
Yeah, so you can use it for anything. One thing you
Correct.
Can use it for is building mana, but others, you can use it for anything that you're working on.
Correct. In other words, when I say thank you for, that's a ha-rite. It's an organized prayer.
Okay, thank
you. It's also a little shorter, though. I mean, you know. But the bottom line is that the modality in which I teach the people is to get them out of this old thing of I got to have this ritual for this, I have to do it on a certain night. I stand there in the face of the moon and blah, blah, blah. You know what? Creation goes on simultaneously 24/7, and we all are creating every day of our life new things. I don't know who created those other rituals. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just simply saying it's a faster way. And where I come from, most of us want it yesterday, not tomorrow. So let's find the most efficient, fast way to get it done. Anything else?
I wanted to ask you, Max Freedom Long, in his book, he gets very, very religious. And when I first started looking at Huna, it was described as a philosophy. And in Max's writing, it's almost like he's teaching another religion. He pulls a lot of the Christian beliefs, a lot of the Bible. It's almost like he's trying to convince you it's safe. Was he just that much of a religious person that he really couldn't separate the two, or shouldn't the two be separated?
I'll give you my opinion answer to that. If you'll notice from the stories that Max tells about himself, like when he went to the Kahuna, to sell his camera shop, for example, the Kahuna told him to go out and make donations financially till it hurt. to certain other organizations, and he named some, and they agreed that those would do fine. Max is an internal belief system where he had been brought up. He had tons of thought forms and belief patterns in there about Christianity, that this was this way and that was that, and this was a way of appeasing those filters within his basic self. Now, here's the rub. You know, Max was not a perfect human by any means. He was a communicator. And the moral to that story comes down to as follows. He recognized that he'll tell you, and he tells you in the bulletins, that his Una Hafidi, known as George, worked wonderful for everybody else, but did not work well for him. And that's a self-worth issue, okay? Clearly, George worked for him because he accomplishes his desired goals and objectives. I would say that, you know, Max had some other company in there, but be that as it may be, in fact, I know he did, but be that as it may be, he worked the system the best he knew how for other people. So, in answer to your question, a lot of times, you know, you have to ask yourself, but your basic self has got so much obsessed thought forms and conflicts in there that say X has to be Y, and in order to have Y, you have to do A, B, C, and D. And you need something done yesterday, and you ain't got time to re-educate your basic self, and you ain't got time to do whatever. You know what? You give it A, B, C, and D to get Y. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make it right. That just means you understand that part of you needs these things in place for it in order to allow what you want to have happen go through. Work in the system. It's working your internal communication system. Does that mean that it has to be that way? No. Does that mean that down the road you can't re-educate yourself? Yes, you can. But at the moment, if you want to get this created into your future, you best do it to what's already in place. Otherwise, you're not going to get that result. And in his case, that was the case. He had to go out and get money to his organization. Then he had to go do what the Kahuna said and when to do it. He did, and he got his results instantly. Worked for him. I understand the principle. I don't necessarily have to like it, but that is what it is. Anybody? Oh, come on. Don't be ashamed of your question. Talk on.
I have a question. Hello?
Hey. Hello?
This is Patricia from San Jose.
Hey, Patricia. Please tell me your question.
Is it possible to get to the point where, when affirmative positive prayer, thank you, Lord, for doing X, Y, and Z, and it's not an asking prayer, but it's beforehand. Is it possible to get to the point where you're not even praying, but you're really just thinking, I want that fixed? And you think about it, and you go, it's going to be fixed. Is it possible to get there and have it work?
Yes.
So that things start...
Absolutely.
So if things start to spontaneously happen from thought, it isn't an accident. It's something that's been being prepared for a while, then all of a sudden it just, you break through to the next level.
Well,
I'm not making it up. I'm just saying I'm having experiences.
I'm saying that, yes, I agree with you. Yes, that's possible. Not only is it possible, it happens like that in my own life a lot. Yes. Absolutely.
So I'm not
now,
crazy.
No, you're not, but what you're doing is utilizing your system. Now, that's the good news, okay?
Yeah.
Let me tell you a potential risk factor. You must monitor what you say very carefully.
I observe that now that I've noticed it's happening. It's what I think is what I'm observing also, not just what I say.
Well, that's why that's the damned if you do and damned if you don't on a ritual.
Exactly.
You know, you need to have some form of trigger to announce clearly this is your intention. But the more you work and become in synergy with yourself, the more that's not a problem. Okay?
On some level, my all three cells are in alignment, and they must know, that part of me must know, when the intention is clear, that that's the direction that we need to take.
Absolutely.
And if this is not an arbitrary, I like chocolate, I think I'm going to order vanilla kind of a thing. This is pretty clear.
Actually, I have a name for this. For more often than not, this is not exactly correct at this level that you're talking about this, but it's basically gentle wishing. In other words, you're in synergy and you speak aloud what it is you want or what you're trying to create, and your inner selves pick it up and they manifest into reality.
It's like a gentle wish.
You're seizing the moment at the time. You know your own, and in the flow, you seize the moment, so that's your request.
Yeah.
I understand that. I agree with that.
So it is possible, and it's highly likely that it can happen over time to come into.
It happens all the time, every day, even to people who don't understand what they're doing. You're riding in your car and you hear that music and you're getting on the groove of music, you know. I'm a 60s music fan. And I don't know, there's some music that I find to be very moving to me, some stuff by the Eagles and some other people. But the point was, the other day I was sitting in the car and I was driving, I don't even remember where I was going, but I was listening to it. I heard it from the grapevine. And, you know, I'm like, I'm in the groove. And I'm sitting there saying, you know, thank you for healing John. Thank you for healing Orton.
Yeah.
Every other bump, there's a gentle wish in there, and I'm just grooving. And I knew the door was open, and I was sliding it through. You know, these are things, yeah, absolutely. And that's part of living the inner life.
Well, the one scary thing which you've mentioned is that I happen to have got angry at someone. And I was so angry, I got in my car, and I was going to run some errands, and I was just going to blow off some steam and get away, get outdoors, to drop the whole subject. But I had to go get gas first, and I was so angry that I put the gas pump in my car. And when it should have stopped, you know, the pump goes click, it didn't go click. And the gas was pouring out of my gas tank. And the next thing I know is I'm telling the guy, hurry, hurry, help, help, you know, but the gas won't stop. He says, all you have to do is click the handle, and I said, it won't do it. He says, lady, just click the handle, and I lifted it up in the air and showed it all this gas pouring, saying, it's not stopping, idiot, you know, and he came running over. He couldn't get it to stop, so he had to run inside, and then I realized it was my anger, and that all of this stuff, I got to be real careful. We got to be real careful what we think. At some point,
well,
it starts
to manifest. Well, it's not just what we think. It's our intentions of how we wish to live, and that's why you only have trigger phrases.
So how would I refine things so that I have trigger phrases?
The first thing I would do is tell my basic self to go to the high self, and let's work out specific trigger phrases so that we don't have these kind of accidents occurring. Just because I'm angry doesn't mean that we're supposed to cause negative things to occur.
Right.
So what you do is work out the phrases. I used to be my basic self to my high self, I pray. You know, there's a trade-off, but it's a positive one, and it gets rid of a lot of that negativity. And it gets rid of the potential for those things to happen.
Okay.
That's how you build a really big, bad karma for yourself, and you don't need to do that.
And it was a big wake-up call, and yet it's almost like living in a strange land where things happen like you live by magic all the time.
We are living by magic all the time. The difference is most of us don't know it. That's the bad news and the good news. For those of us that learn it, prosper ahead of and beyond those that don't. You know, it's a competition. Magic is probably the truest democracy there is. He who learns the power, understands the power of the best wins. That simple.
Well, then that's it. So, doing this process with my self in dousing will clarify that one little thing so that we don't have that situation happen again. I'll have to listen to it and write it down from the recording.
Well, what you need to do is simply go to your high self, ask for forgiveness of this matter, and then ask it to help you create specifically a process by which to, not necessarily limit, but to help better control the creative process in you.
To mitigate it.
Yeah, in other words, a phrase, a trigger, or whatever.
Okay.
It's something you have to do. You don't want to limit it to just like, I have to say it out loud. Well, it needs to be something that you can use mentally, or out loud, or both.
Okay.
I learned that lesson the hard way.
Well, it just reminded me constantly, you know, there were a few other things that happened, and it reminded me of the sorcerer's apprentice who can make things happen but doesn't know how to undo it. You know, and
precisely.
I go...
Precisely.
Yeah.
It's a good analogy, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing, and I just feel so blessed and so spirit-filled, and life is so different, and yet it's those moments where I know, in fact, the whole thing is flowing through me. I know I'm not in control, and yet I feel responsible for the mishaps, and I go, okay, now I got to figure out, well, how do I do this without causing chaos and causing problems like that?
Well, here's the answer to that. Let's say you don't know whether or not this is the right thing to do or not, if you think it might be, and you're going to do part of the process. When in doubt, ask your armature. But regardless of whatever you do, at the end of every prayer, here's the phrase. If this is for mine, all others highest good, so shall it be. You know, the point comes down to you're putting this in the name of the created force. In other words, I do a lot of prayers. I use the name of God being Kiyakura. Sometimes I use Yahweh. Sometimes I use Yod-Heh, Vod-Heh. All of those are names of God, and it's still the same God, and that's fine. But what I do is say in the name of the living divine force, the key of two, this is for all parties, highest good, make this so now. How? And a lot of times I'll even go a step further, I'll say, in the name of the living divine force, the key of two, if this is for all parties, highest good, make this so now in the most positive way possible for all concerned. How? Like that.
Okay.
Because I've learned that you can learn a lot of lessons by one act. You know, we can all learn that the fire is hot by getting a blister. We can also learn the same lesson by burning our hand off. Point, and some other ones will come along with that, but they just, the fire is hot lesson is the same one.
Yeah.
You know, getting that, and I want to have it the most positive way possible for all concerned. I don't want to be responsible for creating karma for somebody else. So
well,
I don't claim to know all, so I ask my armature to take over here.
Well, I also...
That's what that's doing.
I also believe that, you know, I don't know... Only God knows what the true karma is, and for all I know, this person might be skating in this life after having, you know, done a lot of spiritual work in other lifetimes, so there's no way I know what's right. So,
well, and that's why you consult your higher self. That's the whole purpose.
Yeah.
That's how you get rid of those boo-boos that happen.
Yeah. Boy, that one was the biggest wake-up call, though. Gasoline pouring all over the place.
Well,
thank you very much.
I understand the problem. One day I said something, you know, and I said, don't let this happen. And I didn't think that very through. And as I'm rolling around on the floor with the worst migraine headache I ever had in my life as a result of that, I had to call a friend and have him become the intermediary to get this changed. The lesson was clear. I learned very difficult to make sure you say and include some loopholes in there for out.
Well, what you just said about the migraine headache leads me to believe that some of us, I'm talking about myself and a few other people that I know, who have very strong emotional natures, which is a very strong subconscious, who are affected by things in a way that go beyond words. I am affected deeply with thoughts and words.
And here's the error that I would say. How does that serve you?
Right.
And so this is the patterns and behaviors and filters in yourself that you need to have come into harmony and balance.
And so my
prayer to that would be is thank you for getting these things to come into harmony and balance within you. Thank you for healing that situation in you now. Thank you for healing it now and in your future in the most positive way possible for all concerned. See what I mean?
And that includes if I'm empathing people constantly.
You don't need to be empathing people constantly. Really, it can be a violation of their privacy. And I would clear myself because I think that when you see that happening in people all the time, you're running around scanning everything. That's not good for you.
I don't recognize that I'm doing it. It's part of it, what I thought was
that's
my intuitive nature.
That's even worse
nature.
Because that's an automatic behavior going on that you're not in charge of.
Right, I'm sure that's
I would
true.
Suspect that there's something else going on in there.
Okay.
I mean, I'm supposed to be the big whiz. I don't go do that.
Well, things come to me unbidden, and I would like for them not to come.
I understand that. I mean, one of the most horrific experiences in my life was somebody always asked me, was I born with these gifts no more than anybody else? But I did have the gift of clairvoyance. And I spent a good year seeing the President of the United States being assassinated. It became clearer and clearer, and I watched JFK in my mind becoming assassinated. And there I was, a child, and could not do anything about it. And I'm going to tell you something. That was a terrible experience to live through. What are you supposed to do as a kid when you see these things? You can't go to your parents. You can't call the police. You can't call the FBI.
Yeah.
They'll laugh you out of the place. And yet I sat there, frozen, stayed home from school that day, and watched my nightmare become a reality. Now, I can appreciate your statement. But after that, when I got older, first thing I learned to work on was to limit certain access. If I can't be a part of the solution, I don't want to know about it.
Oh, that's maybe
if it doesn't affect me personally, I don't need to know that. Helps, but I don't want to give up my right of control, and I don't want to give up knowing things that will be helpful. I mean, let's face certain realities. We've got huge earth faults in this country that are sooner or later going to go. If you live in California, anybody ever alive in California had experienced an earthquake of some kind. My point is, one day that's going to be bad news. So, because I chose to be in California does not necessarily mean I won't accept the reality that I won't be there when the damn fault breaks and half the continent falls off, On that time period, I won't know in advance, and I won't move myself to Oklahoma or someplace,
Yes, yes. I've already asked that, and I'm told that it's not going to happen yet, so I haven't moved, but
I hope you're right.
Things are still in a state of flux, is what I'm shown. But the important thing is that I don't want to. It's like I've asked Spirit, if you give me something, my agreement is that I will do something with it, because otherwise I expect that you want me to do something, or I'll ask.
Don't say that. That's not true. You're inviting the problem when you say that, and you don't want to talk to Spirit. Who the hell is Spirit? I mean, really, we hear these terms all the time. If it doesn't come from your alma mater, you don't need to worry about it.
Okay, so then I should make a correction in my system, expecting that I will only receive and have an agreement to only receive that which I need to use.
And that you can help change.
And that I can help.
That's being a co-creator in life and coming into a synergy with your alma mater. But
right.
The point comes down to, you don't need to be listening to aka Spirit. If it doesn't come from your alma mater, you don't need to pay attention to it.
Okay.
And in other words, you say, well, what if that information doesn't come to your alma mater? It's tough. Your alma mater's job is to help shield and protect you and keep you well. And if some other spirits want to make that information known, that's alma mater's business. That should be adjudicated by alma mater, not you. And that's why you have one.
Okay.
I need to be filtered out, not interfering with your stuff. And you see, you, by your words and statements, you're bringing in the possibility of that to happen. And I would suspect that you're building some karma there that you don't need to build.
Okay.
Now that you've become aware of that, I would go back up through my basic self and my high self and talk to my alma mater and say, look, I'd like to be forgiven for this. Please educate me in my basic self. It's the best way to do this. Help me to undo whatever wrongs I've heard I've done. And one of the phrases I do in forgiveness work that I found to be very successful is if you want to have, I'm working with you now, I'd say go to your alma mater. And I had you repeat this out loud, which would be to say, to your alma mater, I want you to go to any one person, place, or thing. Thing covers everything. But any one person, place, or thing that I have ever grievously hurt or harmed, please go to their alma mater and tell them that I am sorry. Ask them to forgive me, and for I forgive them and release them and ask them to release me. And do it the other way around. Please go to any one person, place, or thing that has ever previously hurt or harmed me, and tell them I release them, I forgive them, and ask them to release and forgive me. Because what you're wanting to do is call it to be mutual. If there's penance to be paid, that's something you can work out.
That is so important. Thank you. Thank you. I can feel that resonate with me strongly. I'm going to have to work on that one. That's
well,
a big one to use.
That's a wake-up call for you because, frankly, you know, I'm going to pick on the ASC crowd. They have an internet version of their membership, and this person was talking about they were working on clearing the water in Iraq to get the evil out of it so that they could make sure it was clear and that that would stop the fanatical Muslims from doing what they're going to do. And my first statement to that was, excuse me, who God lets you go? Why do you have permission to do that? Well, I just think it's the right thing to do. Says who? And why are we to listen to you? I mean, you're as bad as a Muslim running around saying, well, Allah said this, or Allah made this curse, or Allah did this. Allah didn't do any of that. That's your misunderstanding. That's your application of what you think you're supposed to be doing, not ours. Any religion that calls into the killing of other human beings is not good.
If it doesn't bless and it doesn't enhance life, then it's none of our business to be doing.
Precisely. Well said. And, you know, when I asked them all of that, I said, I think I'd be rethinking that. And I think I'd ask myself, how much karma am I creating on myself by these actions? You know? He said, well, you don't think we should do those kind of things? I said, no, if I don't want to have war over there in Iraq, me and my Amakua come to an agreement that we're not going to help co-create that tonight when we go to bed. I'm not going to allow my energy to flow that way, and I'm going to create other things. But I'm not going to practice war. I'm going to practice creating peace. And the way you do that is to create peace, not war. And what I do is don't support those things.
And I remind people that how do you kill a plant? You neglect it. You starve it of attention. You don't give it anything. And some of us love plants, but I can't seem to keep a plant alive. We're fiends. I overwater things. So,
well, that's easy to do, especially with plants. But, you know, I think that if you can get the little meters you stick in there. And the other thing is you got to have the right kind of drainage. Not all plants need to have water in there at the bottom of the reed. Some do, some don't. It's just a process.
By the way, tell them
you love them, it works.
By the way, the first call that you made, you did a treatment that cleared, you called it a reputation?
No, a revocation.
A revocation, thank you.
And I've
taken different kinds of healing modalities like Reiki and reconnection. And I noticed that even though I might want to do those, I don't feel the energies anymore. So the revocation took care of all of that.
Well, it's a good thing to hear because on the reconnection side of the house, you're talking about Pearl stuff.
Yeah.
No offense, but I'm not so sure. I've had about 160 reconnection people use my services to clear Eric Pearl stuff out of them. What I found was a ton of ETs attached to them, making their life miserable, sucking their life force out of them, and living vicariously through it. Now, they may have gotten healed or something, but I'm telling you, that's a connection that I don't approve of. And all I can do is judge the product. You have 160 people pay you $90 an hour to get clear of something? You have to ask yourself, what in the hell are they doing?
I agree.
You know, that bothers me.
I agree, and it spreads like a virus because anybody you treat also carries the energy, and I didn't realize it till later. I'm getting worse. I'm not getting healthier. I'm getting worse. And it wasn't until I was cleared by your first call that I noticed that the energies don't run through me like they did before. Now, I'm better, but I'm not as good as I'd like to be. But
well, I would do a little forgiveness on myself about that.
For having taken...
In fact, let's not even screw around about that. Hold on there a minute. Let me get... Now, take two. Give me your first... first name?
Patricia.
Patricia is an object. Yeah. I agree with you about that. You heard what I said about standard commissions?
Yes.
Let's let those apply right now, if that's okay with you.
That would be fine.
Okay, so if all of us here and we just got a permission granted, the standard permission to apply, that makes a conscious decision on her part. The second thing is, you're in my space. What do we know about healing? You have to be in my space and I have to be in yours in order to cause healing facilitation to occur. And man, am I going through the water today. One cord down, another one on the way. Through your basic self to your high self, I'm asking your basic self more to you in this lifetime to cooperate. If there are any other entities supporting things or past over loved ones, persons or things, spiritual eating companions, extra basic selves, ETs, whatever, through this connection, through my basic self to my Amakua and in its name to the Kiyakua, the Po Amakua, I'm calling upon the Po Amakua to come to you now, Patricia. We're going to hold all those other things in abeyance so this can be cleared within you. So through your basic self to your high self, and on your behalf, I'm asking your Amakua, go to any one person, place, or thing that you ever did in a reconnect work with or whatever. Contact their Amakua and tell them that you are sorry. And you're going to ask them to forgive you and release you. And in that process, you're going to ask them to forgive and release themselves and have their Amakua become aware of what is happening and be the facilitator of them being released and healed. And we're revoking these permissions now. But this is not for their true highest good and healing. We're asking that that come to their awareness and that through the communications of the great company of Amakuas and your Amakuas or whomever you worked on or treated in this way or carried that kind of reconnect stuff to, that that be healed now and in their future. We're going to go back in time and change that. We're asking that that be cleared now. So shall it be thought, has it been said, if this is for your highest good and healing, make this so the most possibly possible for all concerned. How you feel?
I'm feeling a shift. I'm feeling a shift.
You ought to be getting warm.
That I am. It's like a little bit too much sun.
Yep. Now you're in San Jose, California, correct?
Yeah. It's almost like a little like a little bit of a heat what do you call it? A female hot flash.
There you go. Now I'm over 3,000 miles away from you, and when you hear me tell people that the power's in the words, you just got your first saleable example of that. Done.
Absolutely.
You felt a force that was co-created, brought into creation, called into reality by me on your behalf, with my basic self, with my high self, I pray, today, tonight, right now. Now, nowhere in that stuff you just heard is an auto-suggestion that says, oh, you're to get warm. I said that you were warm, you acknowledged that you were, and it was going on prior to me saying that. That's part of you.
Absolutely.
You acknowledge that you're feeling a shift, and you see, and that's my point. You're in my space, and I have chosen to start correcting what's wrong with you in my space by my co-creation. I'm not accepting your illness, but I'm going to fix it if you're going to be in my space. And to any darkness that's attached to that, we're going to skip two of those options right now. You either can leave or perish. I know that you're not going to convert. And I know that you're not going to be willing to stand down. So what I'm telling you right now is those are your choices. Fail not. Because when it comes to this kind of stuff, I am not a very happy camper. And I have pre-authorization in effect for nothingness to occur to you. Do I need to say any more? And I just felt a ton of stuff leave you there.
I feel like all of a sudden my eyes popped, like I'm seeing things clearly, and it's like I had Fox glasses on and I didn't know it.
understand.
That's just the manifestation that happened right now after the heat wave.
Well, you're going to have more of that, and that's going to go on probably for 12 to 24 hours. And you may have some detoxification, so you have to make a run to Mr. John. Don't be upset about it. Everything that can be cleared energetically will be, but sometimes you have to take a crap, bottom line.
Oh, that's totally. Whether you're sneezing, pooping, or vomiting, it's all released. Or sweating, it's all released.
That's true, but I'd rather prefer the pooping part rather than the hurling part.
Oh, yeah, well, same here. God bless you. Oh. Thank you. I had no idea that this was possible.
We'll see how limited you've become.
Well, that reconnection...
Listen to me. If somebody asks me, what's your favorite positive phrase? Other than through my busy stuff and my high self, I pray, I would say there's absolutely nothing, and I mean nothing, that cannot be changed for the better.
Yeah. And I had no idea people were having problems with the reconnection. Cause I didn't get that it was ET connected till months after I had already done some work.
He'll tell you that, but I have a client I've been working with for a year, and I kept working. I kept sharing this stuff, you know, like that. That's why these things should be standing around waiting on me to finish. I finally broke out and asked him. I said, you going to do this? He said, yeah. And I said, you want to get well? He said, yeah. And I said, well, I'm going to write you an email. You read it. Decide that you can be happy with this, and then call me when you're ready to work, and we'll release this. And we're going to be some reading stuff out loud and doing this mutual chanting until we get this crap done. Because this is not good. Now, it might be good for somebody else, but for your behind, this is not good. And I mean severely not good. Well, it took a day. She read it, and she called me the next day. She said, can we do this now? And I said, what happened to making an appointment? She said, after I read that thing, the urgency of it increased exponentially.
Yeah. Well, the first time you had the teleconference, and did that, I did the revocation with you, I had 18 months of constant diarrhea all the time, every day. And it stopped for a week. And then it started up again slowly. So I have a feeling now that's going to be a done deal. That's not going to happen anymore for me.
Well, I would agree with that. Let's claim it now. If it's for your highest good and healing in the most positive way possible, as adjudicated by your offices. You know, that's another. I actually get calls from women to help them have food, not to stop food. I say, well, you want to pay me $90 an hour to cause you to food? Honey, go down to the health food store and buy you some magnesium sulfate and start taking it. And on the way by, go by the grocery store and buy you some grapefruit juice, orange juice, something with a lot of citric acid in it. And if that doesn't work, you know, at the time, it's a joke. If you have a Waffle House in your town, go by there and get some coffee with it as well. I guarantee you will be clear within an hour. You know? Well,
God bless you.
You know, as I said, how many of you think that I don't want your money for this? I said, in fact, if you've got the stomach for it, go buy some good quality Epsom salt. Take you a tablespoon of that and put it in orange juice. You can add about a half a tablespoon of mineral oil or olive oil to that, or a tablespoon of that. Swirl it around real good and sugar down. Set your watch, because I'm telling you right now, in 45 minutes, you'll be active. And they look at me, and I said, well, I don't understand. I said, see, I've never heard of Epsom. All Epsom salt is magnesium sulfate.
Yep.
It goes so on the back, you know.
Yep.
And believe me, all these people go get colonics and stuff like that. Who cares about a colonic, because you can do this and go from end to end. Colonic only does one part, you know. And I'm like, good Lord. I had one lady come and say, nothing's happening. I said, you got any coffee now? She said, yeah. I said, drink a cup black. She called me back an hour later and said, I didn't get three swallows of that coffee down before it hit. And I said, I bet you did.
Well, I took Advil for a little too long, and I burned my intestines, and I think that's what it came from, partly. And the other part, I thought, was the reconnection stuff.
Well, if you're digesting food good and so forth, a lot of times we got parasites. And I hear from the medical profession all day long, that's just crap, blah, blah, blah. They can say that, they can do that, but I'm telling you what, one of this, I'll leave his name out, but one of the most successful double lung transplants in the United States for the longest time, we got to that place where everything was diarrhea, the doctor couldn't get it to stop. They called me, and I said, you don't need to pay me for this. I want you to kill this parasite. What are you talking about? I said, just humor me. He already has the crap. So let's see if he can do you some good. So I got him on black walnut for the first 5 days and wormwood combination for the second. And I said, he needs beef, rice, and bananas, stuff like that. And I said, let's start giving his body something to build on. But then that first week, he had a major shift and started going on. He had the real serious day. And then after that, he started getting well.
Wow.
And I said, you know, y'all need to think about something. I said, I'm an old-time horse doctor, if there ever was one. I don't claim to be a naturopath. I'm not an MD. I'm not a PhD. But what I am is a damn good detective. I look at things, and I investigate to the nines, so I figure out what works and what doesn't work. And what I'm amazed at along these same lines are he's still taking these anti-rejection drugs. You know, and my question to the doctor is, sooner or later, all those cells in that body replaced. So those nice new implanted lungs, by their statement, should become his lungs sooner or later. You know, there's a point where that reaction stuff needs to stop.
Well, that's amazing.
And the last part of that is that I see, you know, I don't understand why current physical physicians don't use chelation therapy. If it wasn't for Dr. Oz on TV and his partner, I really believe that, you know, I know all the doctors hate his behind because he's making them have to, they all read his book or his partner's book. And if his partner says, yeah, well, they may huff and puff and say what they want, but when I wrote it, I backed it up with a mind, and here it is. You know, and they can't argue with that, and if they do, they're showing their ignorance. And I give them credit because they brought to the public a lot of things that a lot of people don't do. The fact that Dr. Oz is supporting resveratrol, for example, I think would be amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they're just making huge inroads here and calling people into circumstances.
Well,
so,
I don't feel sorry for the doctors. If you know, money talks and people are wanting alternatives other than the standard, you know, I'm here for you to write me a prescription. You know, people are talking with their money and they're talking with every part of their anatomy by not showing up in the doctor's office for things as well. By the way, a little detail that I Wikipedia'd when you said magnesium sulfate, I wasn't sure what you meant until you said it was Epsom salt, but it says magnesium sulfate is the primary substance that causes the absorption of sound in seawater. And what are we made of? We're made up of seawater. Our bodies are like seawater.
Well, that's true, but it does a lot of other things. It helps lower your blood pressure, helps regulate your heartbeat. Magnesium, and you can't, without magnesium and zinc, you can't absorb calcium. So, you know, it's one of those minerals that it just has great benefits for you. For people who can't eat bananas, I feel sorry for them, but banana is one of the most healthy fruits you can stick in your mouth, yeah.
Well,
it does tons of good stuff.
I have difficulty eating, digesting them, but I still eat them. I have to wait till they're very, very ripe. Otherwise, I get heartburn. I don't know why. But if I wait till they're spotted, then I can eat them fine. But if they're on the, you know, if they're ripe, but they, you know, they're firm, I get heartburn. I don't know why.
Well, I'll tell you what now. What we get in the store around here is gas and so forth in this country. But when you get a raw banana that's green, you know,
yeah.
That thing's like trying to eat a cucumber, except a lot harder.
Yeah, no, I don't eat them green.
Right.
I like
well,
them.
Well, no, but I'm saying when you get them, you know, they're yellow because they've been gassed. That makes them look yellow. And bottom line comes down to is that bananas, when they're in their natural form, I actually in Costa Rica found a banana tree in the right place for James. It was healthy to James. And I got that thing, and I said, well, this is a banana, and I went to peel it, and I could have eaten a stick easier than I could have eaten that thing. That was just hard as nails. I had to cook it to get it down to where I could eat it. And after I cooked it, it was great, but damn, you know. Of course, when you were looking for food, that's all you can find. You take what you can get, you know.
Well, James, thank you ever so much. You've been very generous, very generous. This is a big lesson for me. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else got anything to say? Got a question?
Hi, James. It's Nancy, California.
Hey, Nancy.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you that I don't have a question, but this morning I was on the way to work, and I forgot to say my revocation. So I served to my basic self, to my higher to my middle self, and middle self to my higher self. And I says, now, you say the revocation, as you always have, in the morning and the evening. You say it and when you're driving, and all of a sudden the page just went, whoop, and I said it three times, just like that, and blink of an eye. I just thought I'd share that with you.
Well, I'm glad, man. Everything else going okay for you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll call you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Anybody else got anything to share at all? Out of question? I mean, you're not going to find this kind of information in, per book, I just tell you. Just what you're hearing is 35 years of practice or more, working this stuff out. And I want to tell you something. You know, general revocation came about because of all the stuff that I had to do with people. After a while, I started making a list of stuff that I had to do with all these people. And I said, how can I condense this? So basically, a general revocation is my hall right that I practice all the time. And I wrote it up, and it works pretty good. I'm always correcting it. There's things I need to add to it right now, for example. As soon as I do that, I'll post it again. You know, you learn every time you do it. I'm trying to work on one for ET. God knows. That has to stop. I don't know how that's going to happen, but that has to stop.
Is the book really still planned for June, for July?
Yes.
Good.
I've already sent half of it out to have the Q&A done on it, meaning editors are going to read it and get rid of any malpropisms and spell words or anything that I missed and that my friend Mr. Baker missed. Mr. Baker doesn't miss much. Trust me. But he's done well with it, and I've already seen him back. And the other half will be done in the next, you know, when I start writing, I wrote on it today. And anytime you can do 25 pages in a day that come out right, you've done something. And there are days that I can do a lot more than that. But it's about, you know, I don't have to think about it. I've done this for long. I know these answers, and it just takes a while to type it out in a form. But it's good, and I'm pleased with it. But I said in this book, I don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to read it to you. Yeah, where it is. I've cut this thing down to about as blunt as I know how to do it. And I tell you that in the front of the book, in the prologue. Here's the prologue. My name is James V. Alexander. I started learning about him in 1969. During my life, I was recognized as a person that could actually make use of the principles that Max Freedom Law wrote about, not only for myself, but for others as well. I was awarded titles to go along with that recognition from organizations that followed and supported the teachings of Max Freedom Law. I was ordained a minister, and I'm certified a HUNA teacher and recognized as a HUNA practitioner, etc. I belong to HUNA organization groups, etc. At that time, I earned my financial income as a private investigator. When the demand of my time to assist others through HUNA became more than my PI business, I decided to switch my occupation from being a very successful PI to HUNA practitioner for hire. During this transition period from PI to building a HUNA clientele, at the urging of others with the help of some, we created HUNA Life Church. This mission is to heal, teach, train, and mentor people who seek out HUNA and wish to live a hurtless and helpful life, being of service to HUNA way. I saw a number of basic tuner classes in my time to people who wanted to learn. Recently, I taught one such class in Pacifica, California, as a kickoff for the establishment of a new Himalayan church there with Reverend Orton Meck as pastor and resident. Before I teach a class, I pray about it. I ask to be given insight into those that will be attending so that I may be able to convey to them what they need to learn about Luna and that the class will be a success by all standards. During my prayers about the specific class, something else occurred. My higher self, or Amakua, made it known to me to pay attention to how I taught the class and then afterward committed to writing. I did. This book is the result. This is a no-frill version. I tell this information in the shortest format possible, and it's clear and to the point with no extra interpretation, philosophy, Hawaiian history, etc. It is to the point with no examples. Having said that, let's get it on. That is the prologue. And it's pretty blunt. It is what it is.
Is there a section in there on getting rid of addictions?
Certainly. That's another great reason to learn who. Part of the thing you need to hear about addictions is that the subconscious mind or the human feeling can't tell the difference between a chemical addiction and an emotional addiction. And I'll say this to you right now. Most addictions also have an eating companion attached to them in some way. That does not mean that they cause the addiction. It just means that they are making use of that. And it's, you know, it's hard enough to get through the addiction in the first place. You sure as heck don't need to have any help from an eating companion, making it more difficult when you try to get rid of it. So the name of the game is to get clear first and then work on getting rid of the addiction. Anybody else? Any other questions? I'm not sure. I guess at this point, all of tonight. Let me hit the button. Hello, bud. Where you at, bud? All right. Yeah, that was done. Let's see here. Take that. I'm not sure I know how to stop the recording. We're going to find out here in a second. Watch your ears now.